Savitri, Book 7, The Book of Yoga, Canto 4, The Triple Soul Forces, from the bottom of page 506 to 508. Only by force and ruse can man survive, for pity is a weakness in his breast. His goodness is a laxity in the nerves, his kindness an investment for return. His altruism is ego's other face. He serves the world that him the world may serve. If once the Titan's strength could wake in me, if Enceladus from Etna could arise, I then would reign the master of the world and like a god enjoy man's bliss and pain. But God has taken from me the ancient force. There is a dull consent in my sluggish heart, a fierce satisfaction with my special pangs as if they made me taller than my kind. Only by suffering can I excel. I am the victim of titanic ills. I am the doer of demoniac deeds. I was made for evil. Evil is my lot. Evil I must be, and by evil live. Not other can I do, but be myself. What nature made me, that I must remain. I suffer and toil and weep, I moan and hate. And Savitri heard the voice, the echo heard, and turning to her being of pity spoke. Madonna of suffering, mother of grief divine, thou art a portion of my soul, put forth to bear the unbearable sorrow of the world. Because thou art, men yield not to their doom, but ask for happiness and strive with fate. Because thou art, the wretched still can hope. But thine is the power to solace, not to save. One day I will return, a bringer of strength, and make thee drink from the Eternal's cup. His streams of force shall triumph in thy limbs, and wisdom's calm control thy passionate heart. Thy love shall be the bond of humankind, compassion the bright key of nature's acts. Misery shall pass abolished from the earth. The world shall be freed from the anger of the beast, from the cruelty of the Titan and his pain. There shall be peace and joy forevermore. On passed she in her spirit's upward route. An ardent grandeur climbed mid ferns and rocks. A quiet wind flattered the heart to warmth. A finer perfume breathed from slender trees. All beautiful grew, subtle and high and strange. Here on a boulder, carved like a huge throne, a woman sat in gold and purple sheen. Armed with the trident and the thunderbolt, her feet upon a couchant lion's back. A formidable smile curved around her lips. Heaven fire laughed in the corners of her eyes. Her body a mass of courage and heavenly strength. She menaced the triumph of the nether gods. A halo of lightnings flamed around her head, and sovereignty, a greater cestus, zoned her robe, and majesty and victory sat with her, guarding in the wide cosmic battlefield against the flat equality of death and the all-leveling insurgent night. The hierarchy of the ordered powers, the high changeless values, the peaked eminiscences, the privileged aristocracy of truth, and in the governing ideal's sun, the triumvirate of wisdom, love, and bliss, and the sole autocracy of the absolute light. August on her seat, in the inner world of mind, the mother of might, looked down on passing things, listened to the advancing tread of time, saw the irresistible wheeling of the suns and heard the thunder of the march of God. Amid the swaying forces, in their strife, sovereign was her word of luminous command. Her speech, like a war cry, rang or a pilgrim chant.